As my children were making noise this morning, I was thinking about how really the soundtrack of a healthy church is everything from the sounds of babbling and crying babies, and, you know, so the sounds of the youngest generation all the way up to the snores of the oldest generation. We are continuing in our sermon series, questions that Jesus asked, and so we are picking up in Luke chapter 18, so verses 1 through 8. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so that she'll not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this passage, we pray that you would be helping it to come alive in our lives. We pray that you would be opening us up to what you have to teach us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be moving and working, helping us to understand and to live out your word. We pray that you would be continually reminding us of our blessings, that we would not become too distracted by the things of this world, that we would be aware of them and motivated to action, but that they would not draw us away from you. Rather, that our action would draw us closer to you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Yesterday, Celise and I traveled to Eureka. We went swimming at her grandparents' pool, had a good time. And on the way back, we saw these three girls with a horse and a buggy, and they were selling baked goods, and I decided to buy a pie. I love pie, and if a pie arrives by horse and buggy, you almost always know it's going to be good. And so we brought this pie home, and I set it down on the counter, and I went and, you know, I took a little bit of a nap because swimming with children is exhausting. And I got up from my nap, and my dogs had eaten my pie. And I immediately wanted justice. And that's what this passage is about, justice. The unfortunate thing about seeking justice with dogs is that, you know, I can't just eat their food. I mean, I guess I could, but... So there was just a lot of yelling and instant regret that I had had self-control and not, you know, sampled the pie on the way home. And this passage it speaks a lot about justice. It also is a passage that is frequently misinterpreted. Many have heard that this passage is about the persistence of prayer, that in other words, that you have to keep on praying in order to wear God down, or that if you pray enough that maybe God would answer your requests. I've heard sermons to that effect. I've been taught that. But really, this passage is not about that at all. It's not about the persistence of prayer or wearing God down. And so the question is, well, what is it about then? And we'll get to that. So let's dive into this passage and see exactly what it is that God is talking about. So Jesus is teaching, and as frequently Jesus does, he's using a parable or a story. A parable is a story that's meant to tell a truth. And so in this story, Jesus tells about a widow in a city who has been wronged. and her approaching a judge in order to seek justice. So widows within the Jewish society would have been people who would have been considered or at least treated as a very low position in society. As you know, that within this Jewish society, that women had a lower status than men frequently. And a widow without the protection of a father or a husband or some man in her life would have been easy to take advantage of. In fact, the Gospels talk about how people were frequently trying to steal from widows. They would take from them their homes because the women had very little recourse. There was no advocate for them. And so they became really victims within their own society to people who were unscrupulous or just mean. And so seeking justice, she goes to this judge. And even by the judge's own admission, he does not fear God he doesn't care about people. And that, my friends, is somebody who is in a position of authority in a scary manner. Because if he's not motivated by his care for God or his care for other people, that means that he has simply one motivation, and that's himself. That this judge is motivated by what best benefits him. So in other words, this is a judge who is motivated by things like bribes or coercion or favors. And this widow, having neither of those, neither the money to offer for a bribe or anything to offer as a favor, she goes with a third route of annoying him or pestering him until he grants her request, until he listens to her. And really the language that's used here, it's not just in the courtroom that she's approaching him, it's everywhere that she might run into him. So in the marketplace, maybe she's showing up outside of his home, in front of his friends and family, that she is continuously pestering him. You know, and as I was thinking about this, I thought about my children. And if you have the experience of having young people in your life, you know that they rarely ever take no for an answer. At least not the first. But Dad, you promised. Or Dad, but don't you remember that one time when you were talking about 6 months ago where you said we could go to the city pool? Can't that just be today? But my friends are going. Dad, come on, please. It's so hot. And eventually you're like, if you will just stop, we can maybe go. And they just pester and pester. And that's what we get this idea that this widow is doing, that she is asking over and over again to the point where the judge is like, fine, because it is in my best interest to have you stop, I will listen to you. And it's from that we get this idea that we're supposed to be persistent in prayer. That we are supposed to look like this widow. But rather, this parable is a story of comparison. And so, mistakenly, we see the judge is representing God and the widow is representing us. But rather, what we should see is how much that the judge does not look like God and how we're not supposed to look like the widow. It says the judge is a man who does not care about God or people. Does that sound like the God that we know from the Bible? I mean, he's God, so he probably cares about himself, right? But then from what we know of all of Scripture, does God care about people? Yes. I mean, that's the entirety of Scripture. Is it communicating God's love for his people? And so the judge, although God is a judge, does not look like the judge in this story. God is loving. He is gracious. Time and time again, Scripture tells us that he wants to respond to us, that he hears us. And then this widow, she is in this lowly position. that she is really on the fringe of society. She has no power, no prominence, no right really to be asking for anything. And many of us feel like sometimes we're in that position. We feel helpless to come to our own aid. But really, because we are Christians, because we have been chosen by Christ, we live in what's referred to as the not yet kingdom. The not yet kingdom, where we acknowledge that the kingdom of God has not fully reached its climax. In other words, we're not in heaven yet. We are not at the end of times yet. There are still bad things in our world. But we are also God's sons and daughters. We have already been adopted into his family. We are already part of the kingdom of God. And as if citizens of the kingdom of God, we're supposed to act like it. That means that our lives change, that our thoughts and our actions begin to reflect that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that we stand apart, that we look different, that our culture is different, that our language is different. The things that we do are different because we are part of a different kingdom. And so we look different. We act different. But it also means that our status is different. We no longer stand before God as nobodies or, you know, on the fringes of society. We stand before God as his sons and daughters. He is eager to hear us, eager to receive us. He wants for us to speak to us. You know, I mean, as a parent, there are times where you really want silence, just for a few minutes. But then there are times where you just long for your kids to just actually talk to you about something meaningful. For you to ask them how their day was at school, for them to actually respond with more than one word. Or, you know, for them to enjoy being in your presence and your company. And that's what God is like as a father. He's longing for us to draw close to him. Longing for us to want to sit with him and talk, to enjoy his embrace. And so as Jesus, he's closing this story. And he says, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect? When you cry to him day and night, will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." God is not like this judge in the story. God wants for you to approach him. God wants for you to come to him, for you to share with him your concerns. And it says that he will answer you speedily. Now again, as humans, this is a part where we sometimes misinterpret this a little bit, because God's concept of speedily is not the same as our concept of speedily. Again, I'm using my children a lot this morning, but if my children say, "Hey, when are we going to get ice cream?" And if I say soon, that means immediately. And so and a lot of times we're the same with God. When we say, "God, when will you answer my prayer?" And God says, "Soon," and we think, okay, it's soon. We think that God's idea of speed is immediacy. And it's not. God's idea of quickly is at just the right time. That God doesn't measure time at the same way that we do. And so God says that I will answer your prayers, and I will answer them quickly. And so does this mean that we're not supposed to be persistent in prayer with God? Absolutely not. Really, even the Apostle Paul, prays the same prayer over and over. We see him praying for God to remove the thorn in his side three times. But it also means that when we pray for something, that we pray with the belief that God will respond. And so quickly, if you would, if you have a Bible with you, you can flip over to Psalm 6 with me. If not, you can just listen, and that's fine. It's a short psalm. And I didn't warn the sound guy. Don't worry about going there. You don't need to. But if you want to turn there in your Bible, go ahead. And this is a psalm of David. David is frequently crying out to God. And he says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayers. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment." And so we don't know the exact context in which David is praying here. But essentially what David is doing, he's praying all of his worries, his concerns, he's pouring out his heart before God, and then in an instant, his prayer changes from, "God, please help me with this," to, "Thank you, God, that you are going to help me." David says, "The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer." So even in his prayer of asking, he's already thanking God for answering his prayer. Why? God hasn't done it yet, but David believes that he will. And so if God promises that he hears our prayers and he says, "I promise that I will answer your prayer," sometimes I'm going to answer it in a way that you don't understand. Sometimes I'm going to answer it with a no. But if we believe that God answers our prayers with our best intentions in mind, because as the creator of the universe, he knows what is best for us, even as we pour our hearts out before him, we should be already saying, "Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing me. I believe that you will act on my behalf. You are good." And so Jesus' last thing that he says in this passage that we're reading today, he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes," or when he returns, "will he find faith on earth?" Will he find faith on earth? And the question that he's asking here, will I find people who look like what I am trying to communicate here? Will I find the type of people who have such faith that when they pray, they believe that what they are praying is going to be accomplished? And please hear me. I am not trying to communicate here that whatever you pray, you're going to get. That's simply not true. This is not me communicating. It is not saying, "Well, if I pray for $1 million, I'll get it." No. But it's saying if you come before God and you're honest before him and you're praying your heart out to him, that God is going to respond, and he's going to respond with what truly blesses you, what's best for you. Again, like my children, if they come for me and ask me for ice cream, maybe I will say yes, but I'm not going to say yes every time because I know that they need to eat something healthy. I know better than they do what will make their life happy. And they don't understand that. They don't understand why they can't have ice cream for every meal. It doesn't make sense to them. Ice cream is good. I like ice cream. I can eat lots of ice cream. Why can't I have more ice cream? Because you need to eat other things in order to be healthy so that you can keep on eating ice cream sometimes. And God is the same way. He said, I'm not going to give everything that you want because I know what's really good for you. I know it's going to give you the best life possible. So keep coming to me. Keep asking. I want to be in relationship with you. I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to keep on giving you what is best for you. Believe that. Believe it. Believe that your relationship with me is good. Believe that it will bring benefit to your life. Live it. Act like it. Believe it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just help us in our unbelief. In those moments where we struggle to believe, help us. Help us to be strong in our faith. Help us to be an example to the people around us. Help us to live lives that set us apart, that make us look different, in order that we might point other people to you. We are not perfect. We are far from it. Help us to not lead false lives where we claim to be perfect and don't act like it, but rather where we live lives where we admit that we are not perfect, but we want to be more, and we want to be more, and we want to be different, and we want to be loved by you, and we want to love other people. Help us in that, God. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.